WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
I'm just thinking about the song draft. John Clayton with us. John, we have a song draft coming up in a couple of weeks.
A song draft?
Yes. All songs.
How does that one work?
All songs.
It's a little unwieldy right now in my mind.
It will stay that way, I think. There are a lot of songs out there, John. I don't know if you've thought about that.
I know there's a lot of songs. I mean, thank heaven you're able to go on Pandora and pick them all up.
All kinds of songs. I mean, Happy Birthday. Songs like that included.
Uh-huh.
Christmas songs. Name it. Included. Any song. Do you have a favorite? What do you like to listen to?
Well, I'm kind of into funk. You know, funk and then, of course, hard metal stuff. But a lot of funk.
Of
I mean, you know, Parliament Funkadelic. And I do Whispers and, you know, some of the groups out of Dayton, Ohio and all that. Certainly the Motown sound. James Brown's my obvious favorite.
What is Dayton's? Is Dayton like an important city in that world?
Yeah, because, I mean, you got Lakeside and probably about four bands that came out of Dayton.
All right. How about that? Who knew that?
I didn't know that.
They had relatives there.
I'm not encyclopedic on funk.
You're not funk encyclopedic. Okay.
I still remember my best musical moment.
What is it?
I went down to Nags Head, North Carolina, when, you know, every summer when I was in college and that, and even after that. And I went to this one, it was in the Pinteth Bar. It was kind of a disco bar. And all of a sudden, we're listening to the music. And I'm thinking, this is the greatest music I have ever heard. I've never heard anything this good. And so at the break, I walked over to the band, and I said, man, you guys sound like the Horny Horns, you know, James Brown's Horny Horns. And Maceo Parker looked at me and says, yeah, we are the Horny Horns. JB just fired us.
Okay, wow.
You happen to
happened, if you remember correctly, what happened is that he wanted to have more funk, and so he wanted to change the beat, and so what he did, he went down to Cincinnati, and you know, he was able to get a drummer, a new drummer, and all the different things, and so that was where they made the big change, and the Horny Horns were outside looking in. Wow.
So they would have been impressed that you made that connection, even though you didn't recognize it was them.
No, exactly.
I mean, that's pretty good, I think.
Because, I mean, you know what it was like back in the 70s.
No, I don't.
Early 80s. It's not like there was enough TV to be able to, you know, get the picture of Maceo Parker. Sure, if you had it on the album,
right.
And of course, then you're able to do it. But it's going to be more James Brown in the front, not Maceo Parker.
Right.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have found out on Twitter that
yeah,
James
by the way,
Brown had
the
fired
way he did,
the horns.
He went down to Cincinnati to get Bootsy Collins and his brother, and Bootsy and Bootsy's rubber band kind of pair it up. And so that's when they went to funk. And so what they did instead of 1-2, 1-2, it was like 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
They changed it up. This would be like
me. I love how going to school we are.
I love it too.
This is great.
This would be like maybe your point about the lack of TV and visibility.
Yeah.
Like we don't have ESPN or the internet, and I'm reading an article about the NFL, and I run into you. I'm like, this reads like something you wrote, and you're like, I did write that.
That's mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. I'm John Clayton.
That's my style.
Right, exactly.
I would not be that perceptive. Okay, how was Seattle-Dallas for you? Close game, tough game.
It was a good game, though. I mean, I think what we saw was that Dak Prescott grow up. I mean, that 3rd-and-14 run was just absolutely huge. In fact, his knee's still a little bit sore from flying in the air and landing on it. But, I mean, he grew up, and I think what we didn't recognize is how good the Dallas Cowboys defense has become. Now, remember, it's one of the youngest defenses that you can imagine. In fact, I think they're the first team in like 40 years to have a defense that ranked high in the top five or top seven and didn't have any player 30 years old or older. And so they're young, they're good, they're aggressive, they can get to the passer. They did a great job of doing stunning and stop the run, and so it gave Seattle problems, and Seattle couldn't come back. And so after a very good 10-win season, they're out.
It seemed like a lot of the reporting that I read after this game, just the way my Saturday shook out, I did not get to sit with a lot of this game, John. A lot of what I read was critical of Seattle for not trying to throw it more. Is that warranted?
I discount it. I mean, I know everybody seems to say that, but again, you know, I've watched 21 games from the sidelines of how this team has evolved, and they've evolved by running. And, you know, we're because it, what they look at is that, okay, you know, here with that running formula and the running offense, in the last eight games of the season, they averaged 30 points a game. They had more explosive plays, 12-yard runs and 16-yard completions, than any team in the league in the second half of the season. So they were really good there. And so, you know, last I checked, they were up 14-10 in the fourth quarter. So say what you want. Yeah, maybe they should have thrown a few more passes, but the formula still had in a position to win. What caused them to lose was giving up a 63 and a 75-yard drive that basically sealed the deal. And you give up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, you have a hard time winning.
John Clayton with us. John, there is a lot of news. Let's do the coaches here. And Adam Gase to the Jets. The Jets interviewed a lot of people, including Mike McCarthy, who only wanted them. What's your read on that?
I mean, you know, Mike had limited himself because he's got family in Green Bay that didn't want to move because they've got two kids that are, I think, seniors in high school, or one kid's a senior. They're real close, and so they didn't want to get him out of school. And so he was thinking about sitting out this year. So what he did, he limited himself to two interviews, one in Cleveland, one in the New York Jets. He canceled anything in Arizona and Tampa Bay. So the plan was to see if it was going to work out in the Jets. And I don't know if they offered him. They may not have. But, you know, he was only going to coach in a perfect situation. It may not have been perfect enough for him to go, so he sits out this year. So then it came down to Matt Rhule, the Baylor coach, and, you know, basically Adam Gase. And so Rhule didn't have any good offensive coordinators to offer. And so the fact that Adam had called plays, I mean, he ends up getting the job. And now we'll see what he can do for a defensive coordinator. I think he may get Vance Joseph, who he used to have in Miami, the former head coach of the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Denver Broncos.
Heard Greg Williams' name mentioned there, too.
Greg is also in the mix, too, right. Yes.
What do you think, Gase warranted another chance after 3 years in Miami?
Yes. I mean, he warranted a chance just in the circumstance of what everybody's looking for, because everybody's looking for offensive head coaches that call plays. And you notice that, you know, it sounds like Eric Bieniemy is starting to warm up to maybe get the Cincinnati job. And if that's going to be the case, you know, six of the seven hires will all be offensive coaches. But again, the problem is, yeah, does he merit it under these circumstances? Yes. Does he merit it in the big time? Probably no. But if you're looking for offensive coaches that are, there were just many, weren't many options out there. And so he gets it almost in some ways by default.
John Clayton with us. How about Arizona? To me, that's the most interesting one. A guy had a losing record in college and then gets an NFL job right out of that at USC for 5 minutes in between.
Yeah.
What's the rest of the story?
Well, I mean, the rest of the story is that, again, same thing. You know, you're desperate for an offensive coach. You want to, and so you start to reach. And I don't know. This one, to me, has some issues and some problems because, again, it's like, you know, how good of a head coach is he and how good of a leader is he going to be? Certainly he's going to be imaginative, and certainly he can get some good things from Josh Rosen. But I think one of the big issues that he has is the fact that, you know, he has, you know, he may suffer the same thing that Steve Wilkes have of hiring a staff. If he can't get a good staff, and Steve, it definitely had big holes in the staff, then they're going to have problems. I mean, you saw that Ben McAdoo is one of the first guys that he's interviewing. They weren't able to have any success getting you know, Todd Bowles out of as a defensive coordinator, because I know Arizona wanted him, and he ended up going down to Tampa Bay. So I don't know. This one to me is a little troubled.
John Clayton on the Wester Hotline with us. His appearance is brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. How much stock, if any, do you put in the story making the rounds today about Kingsbury's desire to get the Oklahoma quarterback Murray and trade away Josh Rosen?
I don't buy it, because I can't imagine that you know, Steve Keim is going to draft a 5'9", 5'8 quarterback with the first pick in the draft. I mean, particularly knowing that there's a good possibility at the first pick, you know, they can, you know, trade down to some of the teams that may want to get the Ohio State quarterback. And so I'm troubled by that. And again, if he goes in with the edict that is, because again, the rating at the very best for Kyler Murray is low first round pick. And so this isn't like draft day with Kevin Costner, and you take you know, a guy in the lower part of the first round up high. That's because of need. You know, the Josh Rosen they like. He's got to work with Josh Rosen, and if he doesn't like it, then he better, you know, recollect that $150,000 he paid USC and go back to USC.
Antonio Brown, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So you know Art Rooney pretty well, right?
I do very much. Yeah.
And he sounded to people who were there and were writing about this. He sounded like that Brown was out of there to them, to most of them at least. Do you sense that?
Yeah, I mean, when he comes out and he says, I can't envision him being at training camp next year, I think that gives the indication that they're done with him, and rightfully so. And yeah, having just watched some of that in the past year here in Seattle, I think that as tough as it's going to be, as much as it's going to set the talent base of the franchise back, because you know they consider him, and I think many consider him the best wide receiver in football, that they have to do this because his betrayal and some of the antics that he has and the relationship he's now strained with the team needs for him to move on. And again, that's what happens sometimes. I mean, with Pete Carroll, I mean, here all of a sudden guys like Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett and guys like that, you know, just stop believing because they've heard every speech, they've heard every motivating thing that a coach is going to do because they've been there for so long. And you know that Mike Tomlin's been, what, there since 2007. And so here is, you know, a guy now turning 30 that just probably just got a little bit too tired of it or too bored with it, and, you know, he just wasn't putting out. And so his effort was shaky, in the sense that he didn't work as hard as I think he wanted. Ben Roethlisberger called him out, and so now the next thing is, you know, you've got all these problems that you've got to solve, and getting rid of him, I think, is the only option they have, even though it's going to be a $21 million cap hit.
Right. That's the thing about it to me. Like, the money, John, like that's a team with an aging quarterback that, you know, the window with him to win is got to be getting smaller by the by the week, if you know, at least the year anyway. So, boy, to have that dead money seems like it would make it all the tougher to try to replace Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, having just watched this, I mean, because again, you know, the Steelers are going to be usually the team that's going to stay not make those changes, and that's why I think that we're probably wise in doing that, because I think change is needed, you know, because sometimes you have the comfort level of having the talent, but again, if it's going to be betraying you, and I think it's been certainly been betraying them, you've got to move on and you've got to shake it up. And so the one thing is they have Juju Smith-Schuster, who is a Pro Bowl caliber guy, in fact had slightly a better season than Antonio there on the team. And so in fact, one of the things that Antonio was upset about was the fact that Juju was voted as a team MVP because Antonio wanted it. And, of course, don't you think that Ben Roethlisberger, even though he had too many interceptions, would be wanting it too? So I just think at some point you just got to move on, even though it's going to be a pain, and start to rebuild, even though you're right. Ben is heading down the backstretch of his career.
It's tough to pin this on a coach, I think. But you've had, like, drama after drama there with the Steelers. And, of course, it really came to a head with Le'Veon Bell sitting out the whole year. And now this Brown thing. Like, I don't know. Does Tomlin have to carry any of this, John?
Of course he does. I mean, because, I mean, he allowed it to get away. But now, I think organizationally, they say, okay, we can't put up with this. It's time to move on. And, you know, they've had, you know, Le'Veon Bell do some bad things. I mean, he's missed games with suspensions and things of that nature. And sometimes, you know, he hasn't, you know, put the full effort into some practices and that. And so if you keep getting away with it, then, of course, then it's going to carry down into the team and have a bad impact. And I think what's happened is that's what he did. And so now I think that, you know, they've put their support behind Mike Tomlin, but he has to take some of the blame because, you know, if you allow players to get away with stuff like that, then all of a sudden more players can get involved and do some negative things.
I mean, only one team moves in and trades for Antonio Brown or signs Le'Veon Bell, does things like that. I don't have any expectation at all, John, that the Bills would be that team for either player. Things are pretty stable here, which is a story in and of itself. And I think they would stay away from big ego guys. You know, there's a character piece here that I think that they would probably want to shy away from. And also that, you know, they want to be young and they want to draft guys and build something here that is really yet to be built completely.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the one thing that I think that Sean McDermott needs gets good credit for, at least in the first year, I do think he changed the culture of that team. I think he did get them to work harder, and I think that's a very encouraging thing. And so now, if you're going to be giving up a first round pick or something like that for a player that as great as he is, and again, he is a great receiver. I mean, he would be fantastic in the offense. But again, I mean, it gets you older, and I don't think they want to do that. And I think it gives you the problems that, hey, also his career is going to start to decline. I mean, receivers start to, those good outside guys have to move inside once you get past the age of 30, and that minimizes the value. If you're paying $17 million a year under the contract, I mean, you know, again, they can afford it, but I think what they can't afford to do is get older and then lose a good draft choice.
Can I give you my Patriots take?
Sure.
I'm not sure you'll like it or even understand it. We'll see. But like, this is not coming from a Bills place per se. It's just, I love sports for many reasons. One being that I'm always comparing yesterday and today, you know, teams, players, ranking things. You're in the Hall of Fame committee. Like, that's what the Hall of Fame committee is about, is ranking things. And that's fun for discussion. We're in the discussion business. There's nothing left to do with the Patriots. The dynasty is established. It's amazing. It doesn't change anything whether it goes any longer. So, like, if they lose now, if they lose 50-0 to the Chargers, like, well, what are you going to say? Like, well, they really were bad. No, they were just old, and it was over, and everything runs its course. We've been wondering when that happens for more than a decade here, literally. So that's why I want it done with. Like, I just feel like they've been at the restaurant too long. People are waiting to sit down, and this family will not get up. I just want it to be over with, and then I will be able to breathe again. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's known as Patriot fatigue. I mean, Patriot, I think it's fatigue. Been there all around the country, and I think that, you know it's going to end at some point. I think you can see the signs of this beginning of the end right now. I mean, some of the metric numbers on Tom Brady are not good. I mean, you know, when you start to look at those next-gen stats, and those next-gen stats are the things that are taken from chips, and they, show velocity of the football, where the football goes, tight windows, all these things. Just about every number is starting to come down for Tom Brady. Not to a point where he can't continue playing, but to a point now where he's not as great as he was. And I think you can see the age starting to creep in on the offense with Julian Edelman getting older, Rob Gronkowski looking old. And again, I say that for a high school chum because he went to my high school and came from Buffalo, as you know.
Yep.
He spent a year at my high school. And so you throw all that together, and you're right. I mean, it's like it just at some point it needs to go away. But, I mean, you can see what's going to happen. I mean, let's say as great as Indy's playing right now, that they can go into Kansas City and win because of Kansas City's defensive problems. And then you can see that the Chargers are now making their second back-to-back East Coast trip, and that's going to be problematic. And so you can see if they get home field advantage in the championship game against Indianapolis, it'd be a great rivalry type of thing, but also, too, because of Spygate and everything else, or Deflategate, but it's one where they probably go to the Super Bowl and then lose to New Orleans.
The gates do run together.
Yeah.
We know about the high school connection. You guys, actually, people don't know that John and Rob Gronkowski were in home economics together.
Pretty much, yeah. I did pretty well on that.
You did?
Yeah.
Cooking?
Yeah, no, I'm not good cooking, but at least the economics, because the money part of it.
Home economics was cooking and sewing. That's what I remember from that class. It was cooking and sewing.
Right, same here.
And then there was wood shop. Did you have that?
Oh, wood shop I had, yeah. I was pretty bad at that.
Wood shop, industrial arts.
Industrial arts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it. What was your favorite course? You math guy?
Probably. I think the history stuff. I like the history stuff real well. And the math stuff I loved. I mean, you know, I was taking calculus in high school. That was kind of fun. I think, what did I have? Calculus 3 at one point, which was pretty good. So I had like 3 years of calculus.
Football
my biggest mistake, which was just kind of a 3-year waste of time, because remember back then we had to take language.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and so I took German. And the reason I took German is I used to watch a lot of the World War II movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I can't find my rubbers. So it's like I took that, and it's like, what a waste of time. Why do I need German? I mean, there's no use for German right now. I mean, I'm not going to Germany. The World War II's no longer. And so it's like I did 3 years of that.
That had to be plenty.
Wow. There was just so much in there just now.
That had to be plenty, 3 years.
So much in there.
Very good. A pleasure as always, John. We'll talk next week.
Okay, sounds good.
John Clayton on the Western Hotline. You mentioning the Patriots, they lose 50-0. Like, imagine a world where you sit down on Sunday afternoon and it's Jaguars Dolphins from 2000.
63-7.
62-7.
62-7.
I just looked it up because I thought of it like, I mean, that was just unbelievable. I mean, it was a playoff game. I'm annihilating you.
Yep.
Imagine that happens to the Patriots. Like, Phillip Rivers just throwing touchdowns, and Belichick is standing there on the sidelines, and it's just a beatdown for all time.
Jimmy Johnson, Dan Marino.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know. I think Johnson is gone by then.
Johnson's the head coach.
Marino's gone.
No, Marino's there.
Marino's there.
They're both there.
It's funny. Like
his last game.
I looked it up, and it's the 2000 playoffs. It says in January of 99 on Wikipedia, Johnson's Wikipedia page says he resigned in January of 99. So I haven't had time to like connect all that, but like that doesn't make sense. Because that would be if the 2000 playoffs is when that game was, right? I think.
The game was on January 15th, 2000.
It's right. The second round.
So he could not have...
The first round, they beat the Colts.
So he couldn't have retired in January of 99 and then been coaching them in the playoffs in January of 2000. So
no, fix it. Just go in there and fix it.
Something's wrong on the Wikipedia page.
Just go in there and fix it.
I thought it was Johnson, too, for sure, when I thought of it, but I looked and it didn't connect there, so anyway.
You could make a fix to Wikipedia. Help the world.
I'm on
Someone
it.
Someone else is reading that right now. Is anyone else reading that right now? Is anyone else in the world on the Jimmy Johnson Wikipedia page right now besides you and maybe Joe? Like you're one thing.
I was gonna say.
Is anyone else in the world on that page?
Yes.
Do you ever wonder that? Like this thing I'm looking at right now. Is anybody else in the world on this page too at the same time? Wikipedia.
Ah, I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Now I see it.
Uh-oh.
I didn't finish reading the paragraph. In January of 99, Johnson resigned as Dolphin head coach, citing burnout. He reversed his decision in one day after Marino, with whom Johnson had a strained relationship, pleaded with Johnson to come back. So he did come back, and then it ended the next year.
So there's nothing to fix after all.
My apologies.
What a relief.
I didn't know that game existed. It was amazing.
62-7.
62-7.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Oh,
then the Jaguars lose to Tennessee at home the next week, like 30-10, some score like that. 30-12. What's that score? You have that?
33-14.
33-14. All right. 803-0550. Antonio Brown, right? Andrew Filippone, 6 o'clock to talk about Antonio Brown.
Look at that! What a pull.
Yep. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with the update. Next, lines are open. This is WGR.
Time for this hour's WGR Win Cash code word. Code word for this hour is teeth, T-E-E-T-H. You have until the top of the hour to text the word teeth to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. It is the National Win Cash Contest here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I want him to relax and play the game. Talent's no issue. It's just becoming a little bit smarter. With Clyde Christensen as his quarterback coach and Byron Leftwich, he's going to be coached as well, I think, as he's ever been and more prepared than he's ever been fundamentally and mentally. It's his team. And I'll tell our players in the first meeting, this isn't my team. It's your team. We'll be as good as you want to be.
Okay. Bruce Arians, you can't spell fundamentally without mentally or without funda. By the way, and I told our team, I love this stuff, and it never even gets questioned. I told our team, we'll be as good as you want to be. You get to determine that. As if, like, I'm off the hook here. Really, it's you guys will decide whether we're good. I know I'll get credit if we win, but it's really, if we lose, it's going to be, you guys just didn't want to win. Apparently, that's why we'll have lost. You want to get to the song?
You buried a clarinet solo there. Like, what was going on there? What did we have happening there?
Really?
This is a request. We got some requests because of the song draft. This is Toy Story.
You've got a friend in me, Randy Newman. Look at the look on Kyle's face. Kyle is in disbelief that Bulldog is like, what is this?
I didn't know what it was.
Is that believable in there?
Is it the lyrics? Is it without the lyrics?
Yeah, right.
You
yeah,
off?
Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know the instrumental arrangement of You've Got a Friend in Me. I guess I apologize. I like Randy Newman a lot. I didn't recognize it.
I mean, Tom would have an issue with that.
Sure.
Because you
understand.
Can't say you like him a lot.
It's a super famous song. I get it. I blew it.
You can't say that now.
This thing is just going to be a. What a mess.
So Joe is not saying, like, I might pick You've Got a Friend in Me for the song draft. Someone just said, you guys should play that? That's how it is?
We got a couple of them. Yeah, I might pick a Disney song, though.
Oh, my.
It's on the board.
Yes.
Here's the actual song.
The actual song. Okay. Now you know it.
Of course.
What about Short People? That's a song for the song draft. Randy Newman.
Sure.
Short People. Great song, isn't it?
I
love LA.
I mean, you're like all you, the Russian national anthem,
yes,
and happy birthday and all that. Like, I'm going to have a hard time myself, like, recognizing that I want to pick songs that deserve to be picked in a song draft. I'm also going to, though, that said, have a very hard time picking songs that I would never in a million years choose to listen to.
Mm-hmm. A million years.
It's going to have, like, I am not ever going to be in my attic at, like, midnight on a Saturday, a few IPAs in, going, where's the Russian national anthem? We got a vinyl copy of the like, it's just not going to happen. It's got to be a song that I would want to hear and, like, sit with.
At some point, can we just clip out John Clayton speaking German and play that over this at some point? Where are my rubbers?
Where are my rubbers?
That's what you learned in German? That's what you walked out of there with? Not like, how are you today?
All right. You know what I've got? All I've got from Spanish, from college, so I took Spanish in high school too, but I took three different Spanish courses in college, and I've got what I think is, I think I might be pregnant, is all I've got left over. Creo que estoy embarazada. That's it. That's all I remember. I don't remember. I could probably cobble together something about a blue handbag, too, if I really tried. But, like, I don't have a lot there. So I can understand John having where are my rubbers.
I guess you can.
It's, you know, the damnedest things stick with you. But I guess, anyway.
About 20 years ago, I met a woman who was from Italy, and I really liked her. So I decided I would learn Italian. So I got, like, the tapes, mm-hmm, right? Whatever it was. I don't remember, like, DVDs or something. I got a thing so I could learn Italian. And I started to do that. And, like, a week later, she was like, yeah, I don't want to see you anymore. It was very short. Like, I was very excited about her, and yeah, it was quickly over. And I had started, like, I said, wait a minute. I'm just, like, I just learned, where are the suitcases? Because that's like one of the you get like the I don't know what comes first, the colors.
And she's like, and we are going on no trips, Michael.
I mean, you learn colors and you learn high and
bye. We don't need any suitcases.
And I got dove sono le valigie, and il gabinetto degli uomini, where the men's room, il gabinetto delle donne, the ladies' room. Like, I just was starting to, and that's what I remember. I don't remember the colors. Maybe I remember La Machina for car, but I remember, like, yeah, nothing. So it's a little bit the
you
same.
You making an effort to learn Italian may have been the thing that ended it.
Right. No, that is that. Like, there's a lot of that in my past.
She's with her girlfriends going, like, he's trying way too hard. There's something wrong with this guy. He's already trying to learn Italian. I just met him. You get out of there.
That's right. No, I think that's probably right.
Who knows what could have been?
Well,
it turned out all right.
It turned out all right.
I don't know what happened to her.
I don't either. But, yeah, like, I do have that in my history.
Yeah.
Just, like, getting a little bit too carried
right
away.
Yep. Yeah.
Does that sound like, do sure you believe that?
Well, that, you know, that, yes. No, that's why that scene in Swingers with the answering machine is so hard to watch. Because, like, every one of us has at least been there at least one time, maybe more. And it's like, oh, dude, stop. Just, oh, God, stop. Someone come in and stop him from calling. He's got to stop.
It's so good.
Oh.
That scene is so good.
It's so brutal. Joe, do you know Swingers?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, see?
Wow. Day 5 million in a row of us being like, you don't know what that is
right
because you're 23? Like, yeah, right, that's right. You guys are old.
You might. It's good. I think it holds up. I mean, there's probably some period-specific stuff that looks a little weird, but I think it holds up. Vince Vaughn, John Favreau.
Like good. The
love them both. So
the hockey game.
Probably like it.
You should do it.
Sega hockey.
Yeah, the Sega hockey's gold. Yeah, you would dig it, I think.
Heard of a show called The Staircase?
No.
Netflix. So I thought of it on the air that I would make a resolution.
Right, I remember that.
A New Year's resolution to, at least when I'm alone, like if my kids want to watch a Disney movie we've seen before, I'm not going to be like, I can't. But When I have time to myself and I'm watching TV, as was the case last night, I tend to watch the same 10 things. The Godfather, some JFK documentary, something about Watergate. I can watch the same 10 things. And The West Wing, The Office. So resolution is, no, I don't need to do that anymore. There's so much new programming. Just pick something. There has to be something that I would like. So I had the instinct, and I thought about watching something I've seen 700 times. Like, nope. As if this is like something strong. I mean, this is embarrassing as resolutions go, but whatever.
We're going to watch more TV.
Yeah. We'll see how it turns out. It might end up being more TV because I'll get hooked on new shows or something.
Right.
So I went to Netflix and found The Staircase. It's about a murder from about the late 90s. And it's okay. Like, I'm not going to give you a report. You're not asking for one.
All right.
But I am doing that, and that's the show. And if somebody has some opinion about it they want to share, please feel free to do that.
All right.
So I got it. I did that last night. I mentioned it. A few people tweeted positive things about the show, and one comment was, "I watched the entire series and still don't know who did it."
Okay,
I think I do know already after two episodes, but that's all right. It's probably meant to change my mind a few times during the show.
It probably will intentionally lead you to a conclusion that in the end ends up being wrong.
So there's a new show for me. It's been on for a while, I think, but there, The Staircase.
Good.
Antonio Brown, I do have another a football exercise for us. I want to know something. We'll see. Maybe that's coming up. We'll talk to Andrew Filippone from Pittsburgh, who used to be with us. Joe, do you remember him?
Yes, I do remember him.
He will be on, and we'll talk about Antonio Brown and just more Steelers drama. Today it's sounding like he won't be back with the Steelers, and Andrew is tweeting about how that's actually what should happen. Andrew is strong on that. He should go. So that's in about 17 minutes here. Stay with us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, 803-0550. This is WGR.
You know, Steve was kind of looking for a certain thing. You know, on the coach's side of things, but you know, for me, it was kind of the same thing every day. So it was hard to kind of find that point where I could just break through and actually do what he was looking for.
DeMarcus Cousins, how soon?
Next week.
Next week for Golden State. Nice. Like, what is that? Just a
that'll give them a chance. Thank God they've got reinforcements on the way. They lost 10 games already this year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, they have.
So feeble. They need help. They get more guys.
What is the number?
Where's John Wall? Is he still a guy? Maybe he should go.
He's still a guy. Right. Maybe he should.
Yeah, whatever.
One thing I wanted to do today that may be tough now is establish where Josh Allen ranks going into next year in the league. And that's without a lot of changes that'll happen around the league. But I was listening to a fantasy conversation about 2019. Of course, those have started. I say, of course. Maybe you're like, well, I can't believe that those would have started already. But they have. And comparisons between quarterbacks are being made. And I wanted to know how many guys, yes, fantasy is the original point, but doesn't have to matter, you would get to before you got to Josh Allen. Like, would it be 20? Would it be 10? Like, how many guys would you get to?
Oh, it's easily 10. It might even be 20. Yeah. I mean, is Brady still a guy?
For the moment?
Well, that's the same question I just asked about John Wall.
You could stew over which of those two quarterbacks you'd rather draft in a league next year.
Yeah, okay. Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You probably could make the case, but whatever. You'd bank on what's established, and Brady's a 22 to 25 point guy every week, whatever. I think you still have to take him. That's the only guy in the division that I take, that I have to take, I think, ahead of Allen. For what it's worth. I mean, I don't have to take Darnold ahead. I don't know who the hell's going to be playing in Miami. I don't know. What do I do with Eli Manning?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he's playing for the Giants anymore.
Okay.
Then it's a guess.
So Dallas's guy I would take, Philly's guy, whoever it is, Wentz, I would take. I don't know what Washington's doing. So there's three. I'm through the East so far. I've got New England, Dallas, Philly. Three.
Trubisky?
Let me go in order.
Okay, sorry.
Browns guy, sure. Mayfield, Roethlisberger, there's five. Trubisky, yeah. Stafford, yeah. Rodgers, yeah. Cousins, yeah. That's nine. Boy, that whole division. AFC South. Watson, yeah. Luck, yeah. There's 11. I'm done there. NFC South. Matt Ryan, that's 12. Newton, 13. Breeze, 14. Done there.
Not Winston.
No.
I love Winston next year already. I loved him this year, though.
14.
Didn't go that bad.
Yeah, you know what? This is the fantasy perspective is different than do I want him to, like a little
right.
bit, right? So like that, Winston,
that's right.
There's no argument. His stats are better than Allen has been, but I can't stand him. Like, I wouldn't rather have him on my team than Josh Allen right now. I'm still at 14. Obviously, Mahomes, Phillip Rivers. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get close to 20. Jared Goff, Russell Wilson. That's
Garoppolo.
A lot of guys. Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, 20. See about the running. Like, that'll be a big discussion over the summer. Is like, what in fantasy, there'll probably be a pretty good range of projections on what his running numbers are. His running numbers were very valuable in fantasy this year. Like, he put up huge games, of course, and that made him a real nice commodity kind of out of nowhere as a quarterback this year. But is that hashtag sustainable? We'll hear a lot about that, I think, especially from the fantasy guys in the summer. Maybe on that cruise, they'll be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
FantasyFootball@sea.com. Talk to Andre Reed about the sustainability of Allen's rushing. Andrew Filippone on the ever-dramatic Steelers. More drama with Antonio Brown now. Will he be traded? Who knows? Andrew weighs in. Always a fun conversation. That's After Sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.